The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Friday is here. I hope it's a good one for you. Good morning. I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Friday, March 31st, 2023. Friday of the fifth week of Lent, a day of abstinence from meat. In the Missal, it's liturgical year A, cycle one. Friday is a day to pray the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Benjamin, born in 329. Now, the Christians in Persia had enjoyed 12 years of peace during the reign of Isdigard. In 420, that peace was disturbed by the indiscreet zeal of Abdus, a Christian bishop who burned the temple of fire, the great sanctuary of the Persians. King Isdigard destroyed all the churches of the Christians. Abdus himself was put to death. A general persecution began. One of those who suffered was Saint Benjamin, a deacon. He was imprisoned for a year for his faith. At the end of this period, an ambassador of the Emperor of Constantinople obtained his release on the condition that he would never speak to any of the courtiers about religion. However, Saint Benjamin declared it was his duty to preach Christ, and he could not be silent. He was again apprehended and brought before the king. He was tortured and eventually executed in 424. Saint Benjamin, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I unite myself to your perpetual, unceasing, universal sacrifice. I offer myself to you every day of my life and every moment of every day, according to your most holy and adorable will. Since you have been the victim of my salvation, I wish to be the victim of your love. Accept my desire, take my offering, and graciously hear my prayer. Let me live for love of you. Let me die for love of you. Let my last heartbeat be an act of perfect love. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray for those who have suffered harm from members of the Church. May they find within the Church herself a concrete response to their pain and suffering. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the Gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. On this Friday of the fifth week of Lent, the Holy Church offers us a selection from John. I will repeat part of it to help our prayer. The Jews picked up rocks to stone Jesus. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." These verses out of St. John are paired with the first reading from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah hears the persecution of the many. He says, "I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine." These that persecute Jeremiah are the princes and priests of the people. And in our Lord's day, when St. John says the Jews picked up the rocks to stone him, they too, the Jews, he means the princes and rulers of the Jews. Jesus, you challenged them. Later in the gospel, you said, "If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Jeremiah challenges the Old Testament people with their crimes that are not in accord with the covenant that they were called to live out. "Lord, you are challenging your heroes. that who are you? More than a prophet, you are the Messiah, and you're offering them to see the messianic signs, these signs that will show that you are the one, the very one they have been waiting for. For out of Luke we hear, when the men came to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we work for another? He said to them in reply, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. These take offense at you, Lord. We know the gospel. It is hard to hear that you would give them such sweet message, such sweet look, such grace, and they would prefer another. And yet that is the difficulty. Am I challenged by these verses of Scripture? Certainly, I can say I believe. Certainly, I can say I live a Catholic Christian life. But, Lord, Scripture is meant for all of us in every age. What are you saying to me? What are you asking me to do? Where is the challenge to my faith to really make it full? You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are my Savior. But do I prefer you? Interesting question. There was a priest once who was teaching a morality class in a Catholic school when a student was offended that he spoke of God's existence with certainty. The student felt it was insensitive to those who are not certain about God. The teacher was dumbfounded. He wondered if the cutting edge of our current cultural atmosphere threatens to forbid certainty about God to be expressed even by a professed believer teaching in a religious institution. So that evening he thought, how can I express the truth of Christianity even to those who are offended by the truth? He decided he would count on the heart of that student. The very core of that student's being that he was certain is made in God's image. Made up a test, which he called the preference test. I won't give the whole test here. I'll give the beginning, the first question even. The first question started with a note. You are not being asked which possibility you think is true or which you believe, but which you would prefer, whether or not you think it is true or believe it. First question. It has two items to prefer. The first one offered, when someone you love dies, they are dead, and that's it. You will never see them again. Do you prefer that? But the next statement, when someone you love dies, they somehow live on, and you have the possibility of seeing them again, because when you die, you will also somehow live on. Do you prefer that? Which do you prefer of those two statements? The young man who is offended by certainty regarding faith in God chose the first preference statement. He preferred that when a beloved friend or family member dies, the person would remain dead, never to be seen again. So the priest questioned him about this. What does it mean to say that you love someone, yet you never want to see that person again? Doesn't this very thought make no sense? Could we not at least agree on this little truth? The student went back and forth with the teacher, and at length the boy said very forcefully, Father, I don't want something that's not going to happen. It is a confused statement, but the young man revealed that indeed he would want to see a departed loved one again. He just didn't want to admit it. He wanted to ignore his desire in order to hold intact his ideology. He was fighting against the life that was in him, the life that somehow knows that love is stronger than death. It is very probable, Lord, that you will have me meet up with people who cannot believe, and maybe because of a moral impediment, they're in mortal sin. But sometimes you will have me, Lord, I'm sure, meet up with people who don't prefer to seek you, Lord, to seek the witness of your miracles, to seek the witness of the New Testament, of the holy people that they know are around them, and the witness of their own heart that wants to be able to believe. Because of pride, they just don't want to admit that. They prefer a different Messiah. They prefer a different worldview, a way of life, an ideology instead. And were I to meet them, Lord, help me to be a witness of love. But what about me, Lord? I know that every gospel passage has many, many audiences over the centuries, and I am now in your sight, in your hearing. And what are you calling me to do? Perhaps like that father of the epileptic boy with the demon that you cured, the father who cried out, the father of that child who said, I do believe, help my unbelief. Lord, where is my unbelief? Because you are speaking to me too from so many centuries ago, yet you are present to me now. Where am I to show that my belief is real, that I do prefer you, that I would go where you would ask me, even if it is difficult? Is it in this Lent that I look more deeply at talking with you in my heart, facing you and who you are, not just the precepts that you ask me to live, not just the truths of a certain kind about morality or the world that you want me to know, but the truth about you? You are my Lord and my God. Help me to believe. Help my unbelief. What will it mean then? Yes. What will I tell you moment to moment? Will I ask you for more things while I call out to you in my distress? Will I forgive others, knowing that you will give me the grace to survive letting things go and enjoy the fruits of the forgiveness I will receive when I forgive? Will I look to meet you in more times that I give to you alone, like times of mental prayer? Yes, where are you challenging me to show my belief? Jesus, I want to grow here. At the end of this gospel selection from John, he says, Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true, and many there began to believe in him. They had the grace, then, not to stone you, Jesus, but to have an open heart. Give me an open heart where I am today. Give me an open heart in this Lent I live today. Help me examine myself in my prayer life and my response to the poor who need the good news taught to them, lived before their eyes. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help for putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 16 minutes past the hour, and this is Daybreak. It's Friday, March 31st, 2023. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Let's begin this day of prayer. We join the whole church. We're led by our friends at divineoffice.org in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endure temptation and suffering.
The Lord's is the earth and all its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endure temptation and suffering.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord, and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
O Lord, plead my cause against my foes. Fight those who fight me. Take up your buckler and shield. Arise to help me. O Lord, say to my soul, I am your salvation. But my soul shall be joyful in the Lord and rejoice in his salvation. My whole being will say, Lord, who is like you, who rescue the weak from the strong and the poor from the oppressor? Lying witnesses arise and accuse me unjustly. They repay me evil for good. My soul is forlorn.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Rise up, Lord, and come to my aid.
All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
When they were sick, I went into mourning, afflicted with fasting. My prayer was ever on my lips, as for a brother, a friend. I went as though mourning a mother, bowed down with grief. Now that I am in trouble, they gather. They gather and mock me. They take me by surprise and strike me and tear me to pieces. They provoke me with mockery on mockery and gnash their teeth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All-powerful Lord, stand by me and defend me.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
O Lord, how long will you look on? Come to my rescue. Save my life from these raging beasts, my soul from these lions. I will thank you in the great assembly. Amid the throng, I will praise you. Do not let my lying foes rejoice over me. Do not let those who hate me unjustly wink eyes at each other. O Lord, you have seen. Do not be silent. Do not stand afar off. Awake, stir to my defense, to my cause, O God. Let there be joy for those who love my cause. Let them say without end, Great is the Lord who delights in the peace of his servant. Then my tongue shall speak of your justice all day long, of your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, you rescue the poor from their oppressors, and you rose to the aid of your beloved Son against those who unjustly sought his life. Look on your church as we journey to you, that the poor and weak may recognize the help you provide and proclaim your saving act.
My tongue will speak of your goodness all the day long.
Turn back to the Lord your God.
He is kind and merciful.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. If perfection had been achieved through the Levitical priesthood, on the basis of which the people received the law, what need would there have been to appoint a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, instead of choosing a priest according to the order of Aaron? When there is a change of priesthood, there is necessarily a change of law. Now he of whom these things are said was of a different tribe, none of whose members ever officiated at the altar. It is clear that our Lord rose from the tribe of Judah, regarding which Moses said nothing about priests. The matter is clearer still if another priest is appointed according to the likeness of Melchizedek, one who has become a priest not in virtue of a law expressed in a commandment concerning physical descent, but in virtue of the power of a life which cannot be destroyed. Scripture testifies, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The former commandment has been annulled because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law brought nothing to perfection. But a better hope has supervened, and through it, we draw near to God. This has been confirmed by an oath. The priests of the Old Covenant became priests without an oath, unlike Jesus, to whom God said, "The Lord has sworn and he will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Thus, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Under the Old Covenant, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood which does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he forever lives to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins, then for those of the people. He did that once, for all, when he offered himself. For the law sets up as high priests men who are weak. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints as priest the Son, made perfect forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ did not take upon himself the honor of becoming high priest. He received it from the one who said to him,
You are a priest forever. A priest like Melchizedek of old.
No oath was taken when others were made priests, but the priesthood of Jesus was confirmed by the oath of God, who said to him,
You are a priest forever, a priest like Melchizedek of old.
The second reading from a treatise on faith addressed to Peter by St. Fulgentius of Ruspe, Bishop. The sacrifices of animal victims, which our forefathers were commanded to offer to God by the Holy Trinity itself, the one God of the Old and the New Testaments, foreshadowed the most acceptable gift of all. This was the offering which in his compassion the only Son of God would make of himself in his human nature for our sake. The Apostle teaches that Christ offered himself for us to God as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. He is the true God and the true High Priest who for our sake entered once for all into the Holy of Holies, taking with him not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. This was foreshadowed by the high priest of old when each year he took the blood and entered the Holy of Holies. Christ is therefore the one who in himself alone embodied all that he knew to be necessary to achieve our redemption. He is at once priest and sacrifice, God and temple. He is the priest through whom we have been reconciled, the sacrifice by which we have been reconciled, the temple in which we have been reconciled, the God with whom we have been reconciled. He alone is priest, sacrifice, and temple because he is all those things as God in the form of a servant. But he is not alone as God, for he is this with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the form of God. Hold fast to this and never doubt it. The only begotten Son, God the Word, becoming man, offered himself for us to God as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. In the time of the Old Testament, patriarchs, prophets, and priests sacrificed animals in his honor and in the honor of the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. Now, in the time of the New Testament, the Holy Catholic Church throughout the world never ceases to offer the sacrifice of bread and wine in faith and love to him and to the Father and the Holy Spirit with whom he shares one Godhead. Those animal sacrifices foreshadowed the flesh of Christ, which he would offer for our sins, though himself without sin, and the blood which he poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. In this sacrifice, there is thanksgiving for and commemoration of the flesh of Christ that he offered for us and the blood that that same God poured out for us. On this, St. Paul says in the Acts of the Apostles, "Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as bishops to rule the church of God, which he won for himself by his blood." Those sacrifices of old pointed out in sign to what was to be given to us. In this sacrifice, we see plainly what has already been given to us. Those sacrifices foretold the death of the Son of God for sinners. In this sacrifice, he is proclaimed as already slain for sinners, as the Apostle testifies. Christ died for the wicked at a time when we were still powerless, and when we were enemies, we were reconciled with God through the death of his Son. Once you were estranged from God, at enmity with him in heart and mind, and your deeds were evil. But now, by Christ's death in his mortal body,
God has reconciled you to himself in order to welcome you into his presence as saints without the slightest impurity or imperfection.
God made Christ's sacrificial death the means of expiating the sins of all believers.
God has reconciled you to himself in order to welcome you into his presence as saints without the slightest impurity or imperfection.
Let us pray.
Pardon the offenses of your peoples, we pray, O Lord, and in your goodness set us free from the bonds of the sins we have committed in our weakness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
24 minutes before the hour, today's gospel is coming up in just a few minutes, along with In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Daybreak on Relevant Radio on the Relevant Radio app for Friday, March 31st, 2023. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, you'll notice a certain intensifying of the readings as we head towards Holy Week. The past few days, Jesus has been discussing and even arguing with the Jews, and today they finally say, enough's enough, and they decide to stone him. It's from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John.
The Jews took up stones again to stone him.
I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?
We stone you for no good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God.
Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father.
Again, they tried to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he remained. And many came to him. They said,
John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true.
And many believed in him there.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Jesus knew what was coming. In his humanity, he didn't like it, but he knew that it was necessary. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. Meditating on this scene in the Passion can be of great help in making us strong so as never to omit our daily prayer and so as to carry out the will of God in the things we find difficult. Lord, may things be done not as I want, but as you want. Jesus, whatever you want, I want, we tell him in all sincerity. The souls of the saints have benefited greatly from this passage in the life of our Lord. St. Thomas More shows us that Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane has strengthened Christians faced with great difficulties and tribulations. He too was strengthened by the contemplation of these scenes while he awaited decapitation and martyrdom for being true to his faith. And it can help us to be strong in the face of the difficulties, both great and small, we encounter in our ordinary daily lives. While he was in prison, this saint wrote, Christ knew that many people would be filled with terror when faced with the threat of being tortured, and he wanted to encourage them with the example of his own pain, his own sadness, his own incomparable humiliation and fear. It seems that Christ is making use of his own agony to speak to those who find themselves in such a situation. Be brave, he seems to say, you who are feeble and weak. Do not give up hope. You are terrified and depressed, worn down by exhaustion and the dread of torture. Be confident. I have overcome the world. And yet I was even much more afraid and appalled, since my suffering grew in proportion with the fearful knowledge of what was causing it. Look how I go before you along this path that is beset with so many fears. Take hold of the edge of my cloak, and you will feel flowing from it the power that will not allow your heart's blood to be contaminated with useless fears and anxieties. It will hearten you and raise your spirits, especially when you remember that you are following closely in my footsteps. I am faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength, but give you the necessary grace to be able to bear the test. And it will fill you with gladness when you remember that this transient tribulation you are asked to bear will become a cargo of immense glory. The saint wrote in these terms, knowing it was to be beheaded a few days later. Today, we can resolve to contemplate frequently, perhaps every day, this moment in the life of our Lord we know as the first sorrowful mystery of the Holy Rosary. In a special way, it can provide suitable matter for our prayer when it is more than usually difficult to know just how to discover the will of God in events whose complexities we may not understand. Then, by way of an ejaculatory prayer, we can say, I love what you love. I love because you love. I love it as you love it. I love it for as long as you love it. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 15 minutes before the hour, we join the whole church in prayer as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
My offenses, truly, I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done.
That you may be justified when you give sentence, and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born, a sinner was I conceived.
Indeed, you love truth in the heart, then in the secret of my heart teach me wisdom. O purify me, and I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear rejoicing and gladness, that the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sins turn away your face and blot out all my guilt.
A pure heart create for me, O God, but a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.
Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of fervor sustain me, that I may teach transgressors your ways, and sinners may return to you.
O rescue me, God, my helper, and my tongue shall ring out your goodness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise.
For in sacrifice you take no delight. Burnt offering from me you would refuse. My sacrifice, a contrite spirit, a humbled, contrite heart, you will not spurn.
In your goodness, show favor to Zion, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with lawful sacrifice, holocaust offered on your altar.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, to save us and restore us to your friendship. Look upon our contrite heart and afflicted spirit, and heal our troubled conscience, so that in joy and strength of the Holy Spirit we may proclaim your praise and glory before all the nations.
Lord, you will accept the true sacrifice offered on your altar.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
Truly with you, God is hidden, the God of Israel, the Savior. Those are put to shame and disgrace who vent their anger against him. Those go in disgrace who carve images.
Israel, you are saved by the Lord, saved forever. You shall never be put to shame or disgrace in future ages.
For thus says the Lord, the creator of the heavens, who is God, the designer and maker of the earth, who established it, not creating it to be a waste, but designing it to be lived in.
I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken from hiding, nor from some dark place of the earth. And I have not said to the descendants of Jacob, look for me in an empty waste. I, the Lord, promise justice. I foretell what is right.
Come and assemble, gather together, you fugitives among the Gentiles. They are without knowledge, who bear wooden idols and pray to gods that cannot save.
Come here and declare in council together, who announced this from the beginning and foretold it from of old. Was it not I, the Lord, besides whom there is no other God? There is no just and saving God but me.
Turn to me and be safe, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other.
By myself I swear, uttering my just decree and my unalterable word.
To me every knee shall bend, by me every tongue shall swear, saying, only in the Lord are just deeds and power.
Before him in shame shall come all who vent their anger against him. In the Lord shall be the vindication and the glory of all the descendants of Israel.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
All the descendants of Israel will glory in the Lord's gift of victory.
Let us go into God's presence singing for joy.
Let us go into God's presence singing for joy.
Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing for joy.
Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Go within his gates giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name.
Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now,
and will be forever. Amen.
With joy and gladness we cry out to you, Lord, and ask you, open our hearts to sing your praises and announce your goodness and truth.
Let us go into God's presence, singing for joy.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. even as many were amazed at him. So marred was his look beyond that of man, and his appearance beyond that of mortals. So shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless, and those who have not been told shall see. Those who have not heard shall ponder it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare. From those who would trap me with lying words.
And from the hunter's snare.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
The Lord said, I have done you many acts of kindness. For which of them do you want to kill me?
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death.
And to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord said, I have done you many acts of kindness. For which of them do you want to kill me?
Let us pray. Thanks be to Christ the Lord, who brought us life by his death on the cross. With our whole heart, let us ask him.
By your death, raise us to life.
Teacher and Savior, you have shown us your fidelity and made us a new creation by your passion.
Keep us from falling again into sin.
By your death, raise us to life.
Help us to deny ourselves today.
And not deny those in need.
By your death, raise us to life.
May we receive this day of penance as your gift.
And give it back to you through works of mercy.
By your death, raise us to life.
Master of our rebellious hearts,
teach us generosity.
By your death, raise us to life.
We pause in silence to remember our own petition. We pray to the Lord.
By your death, raise us to life.
Let us make our prayers and praise complete by offering the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Pardon the offenses of your peoples, we pray, O Lord, and in your goodness set us free from the bonds of the sins we have committed in our weakness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
The weekend is coming up, and Palm Sunday is this Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. Get ready for it. Morning Air next. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. Go out and make this a great day, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.